Pull up a seat and listen to our fable. We welcome all who sit at our table. Let's enjoy our caffeinated delight, for we are all monsters on the darkest of nights.
Hello all monsters and welcome to Caffeinated Monsters, your bi-weekly comedy horror podcast. I'm your host Faith and today we've got MK Hall with us again.
Hello again Faith, thank you for inviting me back.
It's alright, always a pleasure to have a chat with you, whether that's at the pub or on here.
Always good.
Especially when technology actually wants to work.
Yes.
So yeah, today's little discussion is going to be about comedy horror films.
Yeah, it's definitely one of my favourite subgenres of horror. Covers, obviously, why it's a subgenre on its own, I guess. It covers subgenres in subgenres, doesn't it? Because you've got your werewolf horrors, your vampire horrors, your zombie horrors, your killer clown horrors. There's so many horror films out there, comedy horror. Such a great sort of area within the horror genre.
Yeah, it's quite surprising how much it can go across. Would you class a lot of spoof horror as comedy horror, or is that like its own thing?
It's spoofy, sort of like Scary Movie and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess just because the spoofs in itself suggests that the comedy. I mean, I think I can't really remember the Scary Movie films that well. I think I like the first one a little bit. I think it just got progressively terrible, and the other one, I can't even remember the other names. The other spoof movies that come out now, there was a bunch of them very much Scary Movie like, which I never bothered watching because they all look terrible. So yeah, I'm more into the not just the sort of classic of comedy horrors, because there's been a number of them over the last 20 years that have actually been fantastic films. But the spoof ones, to be honest, I don't know as well. So yeah, I'll still say they're meant to be comedy horror, depending on what you do, just being comedy, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, that's actually quite a good way of thinking about it. Yeah, so what are the... I mean, I've got like a mini list of like different ones that I've seen the years.
I was trying to think of it before we came in, obviously, coming in late for this podcast. Yeah, there's just so many. There really is. You start thinking back... Me thinking back from like the 80s bit, we discussed in the last podcast I was on how much that means to me and how I connect with that particular era. But there was like, things like Reanimator, American Werewolf in London, Evil Dead 2, on the back of Evil Dead, which was a pure horror film, or supposed to be a pure horror film. Obviously is, but it was a lower budget. Evil Dead 2, there's a comedy horror, but almost a remake of the original film, but in comedy form. Gremlins was from that era, another fantastic comedy horror. Yeah, there's so many big ones. We'll start with your list and let's see if we've got any matching films.
Okay. Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Oh yeah, that's obviously on my list. It's one of my favourites. And this is a good thing. We've complained about... Not complaining, sorry, it's probably the wrong word to use, but we discussed that maybe the horror hasn't been as good in certain, early 2000s, 2010s, what have you. But, Tucker and Dale, I can't remember what year that was, but that's pretty new. It's got to be... Oh, God. IMDb that way, I think, when that came out. But, yeah, that's just 2010, so there you go. Such a great film. It takes the sort of redneck trope and just pulls it apart in hilarious fashion with some incredible... death scenes, some incredibly funny moments, and what's meant to be an evil character is the heartwarming, lovely guy. Yeah, it's an absolutely stunning of a film.
I loved it as well. Some of the deaths in that film really
it's hilarious. It's one I got told to watch, and so I made an effort to watch it, going in completely blind, and I just laughed from start to finish. The whole, before Cabin in the Woods did a riff on the Cabin in the Woods, the first comedy Cabin in the Woods film I can think of.
I'll admit, it was funny because the gore and the comedy kind of work really well together in that film, whereas in other films it's kind of like one usually overrides the other, or the jokes just don't quite land. But in that one it actually works really well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Woodchipper scenes is incredible.
Oh God, yeah. Or the bit where the guy's running with the chainsaw getting chased by bees, and the other bloke thinks he's getting chased.
Leatherface style, exactly. It's that redneck riff, isn't it, on sort of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre redneck horror genre of its own. I mean, that's what it probably is, so mostly a good riff on, but it does have the old cabin in the woods that trying to do up and call her own special place, I guess.
Yeah, I'll admit, the person that runs it straight into the tree stump,
yeah.
the branch is sticking out. It's,
it's funny because really in the film, the bad guys are the final sort of girls and guys getting killed, aren't they? They're not the... It sort of switches it round that, you know, it isn't your rednecks who are evil, nasty, horrible people. It's actually the people you end up accidentally killing.
Just, I love that twist because they land it so well.
Oh, yeah, it's very clever. It was original for the comedy horror for me. It was a new one, a new take on it. I mean, that leads on to, you know, we mentioned the Cabin in the Woods. Cabin in the Woods is one of my favourite comedy horrors. It just basically doesn't just rip on Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It tries to really take the whole horror genre apart bit by bit, doesn't it? And pull, you know, makes massive fun of all the different tropes within it. Yeah, do you want to Joss Whedon's Better Things, unfortunately, and maybe he's not, we might not see anything from Joss Whedon again, but just due to his own behaviour. But, you know, that was an absolutely fantastic film. You can't separate, you got to separate the art from the artist sometimes. And for that one, you know, Joss Whedon did a fantastic job. I loved when you go down to the bottom of the cabin and you're just sitting there as a horror fan. It's exciting to watch them. What is he going to pick out? Is he going to pick out the Hellraiser cube rip-off? Is he going to pick out the Freddy Krueger glove, the Jason mask, before they land with the... I can't remember what it was you pick up to get the sort of zombie redneck family, isn't it, coming to kill them?
Oh, I think it was the little girl's diary, I think.
Ah, was that what it was? Yeah, because then, you know, as it goes into film and you sort of... I mean, I guess it's old enough that we can talk a little bit about because it's spoilers here. So I guess if anyone's listening and doesn't want spoilers, you might want to skip this one. But when you go into the film for even further and you see this isn't the only part of the world this particular thing is happening and it's all round, you know, it's in Japan with the Japanese ghost girl. You know, it goes around all the different parts of the world and takes Mickey out of the tropes of the horror from that particular country, which I thought was fantastic as well. It really did. You know, take all the horror tropes that we know and love and just, like, take the Mickey out of them, really.
I loved seeing, like, all the different creatures and all the different, like, sliding cubes as well. Like, that was just great to look at.
Yeah, and when it actually does actually kick off, it's just funny. It's so much fun when everything gets a bit mad at the end. Everything escapes. It's really, really, really good.
Yeah, just when all the doors open, you know, just that split second of silence, then absolute chaos.
Exactly. What else have you got up on your list?
Dead and Loving It.
Dead and Loving It. I don't think I've seen that one.
Oh, it's worth watching. It's literally like a... it's like if Dracula was a comedy movie.
Is that the one with Leslie Nielsen?
Yes.
I think it's called Dracula Dead and Loving It, was it?
Yeah,
I have seen that actually back. I can't remember that much about it. Dracula Dead and Loving It, 1995. I think, I know I've watched it once and I really can't remember too much about it. So I think I'll let you any talking on this one because, yeah, I don't remember really being that bothered about it at the time, but I know lots of my friends loved it. So,
yeah, it was one of those films that if it happened to be on TV that evening, I'd be like, Dad, can you please watch this? It's brilliant. I'd just sit in front of the TV and absolutely love the film.
It was a very... I remember it being a very Leslie Nielsen type, Naked Gun type film, you know, that those very spoofy sort of...
slapstick.
Slapstick is the right sort of word I'm looking for. But yeah, unfortunately, I can't remember that one, so I can't really answer the conversation too much in that, unfortunately. Have you done that one?
Again, some of the jokes do land. Some of them are a little bit like, I could have done without it.
Yeah. Most of them films of like sort of style had, you know, plenty of brilliant, brilliant jokes. You know, Naked Gun was incredible. But it did only have the odd one that didn't land as well. But you'd put up with that for all the good ones, so.
Yeah, exactly. But I do recommend watching that one.
Okay, then I'll rewatch it. I'll put that down to rewatch. This is adding to my continuous list of films. Every time I listen to a podcast or go to a pub with a friend or you know, talk to you on here, it you literally come out with like 10 more films to watch and you just make that list ever longer and you never get through it. It's always there.
that part of Netflix, like my watch list, that just never gets seen.
Well, I use have you ever heard of Letterboxd? I don't know if I mentioned it last time. It's really good. It's like basically social media for film fans, but it's not like Facebook where you see messages and stuff. You can go on there, review films, follow people who watch the type of films you like, or you like their reviews. But it's got a really good list, so you can put down all the films you've watched recently, and it, you know, adds it to this nice picture list, and then you can have the list of films that you've got on your watch list. And it's handy because, especially, you know, if I see Paul and Chris from, you know, the guys from MK Horror down the pub, and I've seen them a week ago, or maybe 2 weeks ago, I'm like, I can't remember what we spoke about since the last time we spoke, you know, what I've seen, and what am I going to repeat myself and go through the list and then tick them off and say, ah, here we go, here's what I've seen. It's really good for them. The Netflix one just gets mental because it gets shared by so many people in the house. It could be me using it, it could be my wife, it could be the kids, you know. So the watch list goes up and up and up. I never even bothered to look at that.
It's really disheartening when you have to scroll through it, like you're playing Wheel of Fortune just to find the film you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Return of the Living Dead.
Well, which was that's mm-hmm. the one we watched recently, and obviously that's on my list. How did you find that? That was the first time you watched it, wasn't it?
That was the first time I watched it in its entirety, and I absolutely love that film.
Yeah, no, it's such a fun film. I remember, again, I'm going to say 85, I might be wrong, but I watched it quite young, and I don't think I really got it the first time. I think I was expecting, like, a Dawn of the Dead type thing, and didn't really get the humour. It was only when I was, early teenager that I got it, and really enjoyed it for what it is. I've never seen Return of the Living Dead Part 2, but I do like Return of the Living Dead Part 3. Which is a film I just caught on when I was, you know, lying on the sofa poorly one time, and I just put on Amazon Prime, and there it was. I thought, well, you know, it's going to be lying here anyway, I'll just stick it on. And actually, I know probably people listening, I was swearing at me for liking this film, but I really enjoyed it and thought it was a good installment in a franchise. I never watched 2 because it gets ripped on so much. It's been not a very, very good film. So, like, as in, my friends will say it's terrible. So I've just never bothered. But, I mean, if it ever came up on Prime, I probably would, but I'm not going to pay for it. But yeah, it's one of them films that is actually now got a place in like horror history. I mean, when you see people like Mike Tilden, when we get them dressed up for zombies when they were 9, and for 6, when they were dressed up as zombies for the zombie pub crawl in Stony Stratford, they were walking towards me, and they were, you know, it's the set mother going, brains, brains. And that comes from that film. And everyone knows the term brains, as zombies going to brains, but it actually evolved into the Living Dead. So, you know, it's got its place in actual folklore for the zombie genre.
I don't even know there are 3 of them. I really need to sit down and watch them.
I think there's probably more, actually. I'm trying to think how many there might be. There was definitely 1, 2, 3. Then I'm sure there was really... Like later on in 2000, it was probably, I don't even know if they were fan made films, or even if they're still linked to it. Like, there was, I think it was one called Return of the Living Dead Necropolis or something along those lines. So, no, I don't know. I've never watched them. I've watched 1 and 3, and that's it. But yeah, 1 and 3, number 1 is just genius. It's hysterical. You know, bring more paramedics and stuff, talking zombies. You know, the first time I'd ever seen a talking zombie, I guess. But yeah, fantastic film in the comedy genre, or horror comedy.
I can see why you'd have a bit of trouble, if you kind of had a lot of horror zombie films that were just very, like, to the point and, like, gut-wrenching, and then suddenly seeing Return of the Living Dead and sort of going, I don't get it. Like, is it meant to be funny?
I think the thing was my age, and, you know, as I said, I've made no bones about it before. I was watching horror films at a very young age. It was the 80s, everyone did. VHS was there. I don't think I was, it probably was my first input, you know, the first time I'd ever watched a comedy horror and not got it. I mean, I remember I used to watch Theatre of Blood, which, you know, would put into the same genre, but I didn't understand it was comedy horror. I just liked watching it. That was more the case. I just didn't understand the genre, or probably get the jokes at the time as well. You know, I was too young, just waiting for zombies to be like Fulci like or Romero like. So I think that's all I can remember it being. What my issue was with it when I first saw it.
Felt a little bit like that, but kind of in the opposite direction when it came to Dead and Loving It, because I was so young, I didn't see it as like a horror film. I just saw it as like a plain comedy. So, oh yeah, someone just got the head cut off, or someone just got staked. Oh, look, there's lots of blood everywhere. I didn't see it as a horror aspect. I just saw it as part of the gag.
Yeah. No, you can live that is great. I mean, there's a number of great zombie films. Have you seen a film called One Cut of the Dead?
I haven't. I've been meaning to, though.
Yeah, well, it's one of them. It probably doesn't deserve to be talked about too much in here, because it's definitely one that I am given absolutely no spoilers for, because you have to go in completely blind. And even if you're watching the only advice I've given is not to give anything away, is even if you're watching the first, like, 20 minutes or so, you'll be sitting there going, what am I actually watching here? Is anything going to happen? And, you know, it looks like a really badly made film, and then suddenly, you know, it all comes together and it all starts to make sense, and then it just becomes this absolutely incredible film. But don't try and see it before anyone spoils it for you. It's not something we could actually talk about then if you haven't seen it, because it really is pretty new, you know, only a few years old, and it's highly recommended on the list. I put it on up the top of the best comedy horrors I've seen. It really is that good. It's just a very, very clever film.
Okay, I'll be adding that to my list then.
Yeah, another one to the list. I've got Brain Dead on my list, which we recently screened at the Crawford Arms, which I had seen a Brain Dead. I didn't realise I'd seen the 1992 Brain Dead with Bill Paxton and not the Peter Jackson's one back in the day. So when I was watching Brain Dead, it was all pretty brand new to me, and it was just, I couldn't believe I'd actually let this film slip under my radar and never have watched it before. Such a fun, over-the-top, gory, crazy, crazy film. And yeah, have you actually seen Brain Dead yourself? Or did you come to the Brain Dead screen? I can't remember now.
I think I missed that one.
Oh, okay, you missed Brain Dead.
But I have seen that film itself, and I love it. It's just so over the top.
It's amazing. It's like, it's so quotable as well, you know, I kick ass for the Lord. It's just so, so funny. Everything that happens in it from start to finish is hysterical. And just, it's probably one of the best I've ever seen. I wouldn't be amiss if I said that it could even be the best comedy horror I've ever seen. It was that good a film. There was so many lines in it. But I just couldn't stop thinking about it for hours when I got home, and couldn't believe I'd missed the actual film the first time round. Yeah, definitely up there for me.
No, it's one of those films that mixes comedy and gore really well.
Yeah, I mean, it's over-the-top gore, right? I don't think I've seen much more over-the-top gore in my entire life. I mean, the lawnmower scene is just ridiculous. It's funny. It's hysterical. And it's not even gross out gore. Well, some of it, actually, a couple of bits of it are, and I remember now. But mostly it's just like, just really funny, over the top, sort of, you know, really good. What's the word? It's all practical effects. Because of the time, it was coming out towards the CGI time, but it was all practical effects, which is amazing. When you think about some of the stuff you see in that film.
Literally think of actually quite a few things that kind of made me a little bit uncomfortable, but in a good way, because it had that form of hilarity to it, like you said about the lawnmower bit, where it's actually like slipping on all the blood all over the floor.
Oh, and God, it's just over the top, but it's extremely, extremely funny. I found, I don't think I've laughed at a film that much for a long time.
Was it one of those proper like tears in your eyes kind of movies?
It was good. It was, and I think there was a couple of people who hadn't seen it in the audience too, so that just added to it, and people who hadn't watched it for a while, so the whole place was just laughing, because it is just so, so funny. I mean, it's not just all the gore stuff. There's the whole relationship with his mother and the girl who, like, obviously likes him and he likes her, but the mother's trying to keep him away. That overbearing mother trope is fantastic in it. It works really well. Just hysterically funny. And obviously the creepy uncle who turns up at the end. Very, very funny. And again, you don't want to give too much away, because when you're talking, in case someone hasn't seen that and listening in, again, it's 1992, so if you're giving spoilers away now, it's probably a bit late. But it's just an all-time classic for me, definitely. It's probably in my top. I haven't actually sat down and actually fully put in order my favorite comedy horrors for this, because the time to get this list together, but it would probably be in my top five quite comfortably.
Came out in 92.
Yes, 1990. No, it came out. Was it 90? Was it 92? Or what, let me see. Brain Dead come out. There was a Brain Dead, which is Brain Dash Dead, like Space Dead, and that is a Bill Paxton one, which I had seen, and I was confusing this one with. Oh, it was 1992. Yes, sorry, apologies. It is, and it's also a film that, if you have American viewers, listeners, sorry, it is known as Dead Alive in America as well. It's a strange fact. It was called Brain Dead in New Zealand, the UK, everywhere, but it was called Dead Alive in America. And the Brain Dead I'm thinking of came out in 1990. It's got Bill Pullman and Bill Paxton in it.
And then, because, the 92, that was the year I was born.
I don't think I've got a film from the year I was born that was anywhere near as funny.
It's, oh, it's weird to think that came out the same year I was released into the world.
Yeah, that would definitely be my top. I mean, I guess looking at my list now and I'm thinking, what would these would you put in your top five? Shaun of the Dead on my list. I'm sure
definitely it would be on. A trilogy all the way.
Yeah, the Shaun of the Dead. Yeah, definitely for me by quite comfortably the best of the Cornetto trilogy. I like Hot Fuzz and I like World End, but it didn't land anywhere near as much. And I don't think that's just because it was, you know, the horror one. I just think it was just a work of genius and the funniest one with all the best gags in it. I mean, Hot Fuzz had some cracking moments too. But Shaun of the Dead, you know, the title alone's a great gag, isn't it? It's just such a top five movie for me for horror comedy. Such a great film from start to finish. And it's great. I want to love it. The fact it's British as well, it just really adds to it, you know. One of the best films made in horror comedy genre comes from here.
Yeah, I love that. Like, there's some dry British humour in it.
Oh god, yeah. The whole thing about, I mean, I'm not gonna lie to you, my wife's when I come back from the pub and I'm a bit late. Oh, you've been to Winchester? It's the ongoing joke. You know, if you spend all your time in the pub, you've been to Winchester. And obviously the relationship with the father-in-law is great. It's a nearly perfect film, isn't it? If you were rating it, your coffee, it'd be a 5 out of 5 coffee easily. I don't think you could.
Good to know. High hitter there.
yeah, it really is. It's just one of the absolute best. I've also got on the, I don't know if you've seen this, it's one of my absolute favourites. And when this came out, probably watched it every time I came home after being in the pub, which started to make weird film away, but she still loved it. But What We Do in the Shadows.
Yes, that's on my list as well.
It is. I remember me and my friend Chris from Agaru, we were looking forward to this so much because we're big fans of Flight of the Conchords and we knew this was in production and we're thinking, oh, what would they do doing a horror comedy? And then when it landed, it surpassed our expectations for how funny it was. It's just... Yeah, again, this is to me is a 5 out of 5, 5 out of 5 coffees. It from start to finish, it's funny. There's not a dull moment in it. It's again very, very, very quotable. You know, we're werewolves, not swearwolves. I think there's so many great, great lines in it. And all of vampires. You know, they've gone through every vampire trope and picked all the different. You know, the sort of very fancy vampire sort of. Then you've got your Nosferatu vampire. You've got your sort of like Tex vampire, you know, they've gone through a lot to pick the class and they just all work together so well. But yeah, it's just hysterical. And now, obviously, have you been watching a TV series?
No, it's something that I keep meaning to watch.
Oh my god,
many other things. It does look brilliant though.
So good. The first episode, I was like, and I'm not sure because you know, you loved What We Do in the Shadow of the film so much that it was hard to see it being anybody else but those four guys or five, Q's do, and then maybe six with Peter, but not Peter. Oh god, I've got his name now. The young vampire. But anyway, moving on to What We Do in the Shadow of the TV show. It's actually, for me, surpassed the film. It's even funnier. And I think that probably the reason that they cast it so well. Matt Berry's perfect to cast, and this is I'm going to say her name wrong. Natasha Dumitrescu, she's amazing in it. All the people in it are great, and there's, you know, the concept of the LED vampire is so funny too. And yet, I think because we've got, you know, we're heading towards actually on July the 12th, season 4 lands. And I'm just so excited for it. it's, I think, because they've had three seasons so far, but, you know, looking forward to the fourth, but they managed, they've been able to explore different horror genres and, you know, have fun with them rather than it's not just the vampire and the werewolves, and obviously zombies are in slightly, only slightly though, in what we do in the Shadows of Film. They get to explore ghosts and all sorts in what we do in the Shadows. It's so funny. Yeah, and this cast really well. They did, I don't know, have you seen, you probably haven't, if you haven't seen what we're doing instead, as you also did a spin-off, which was good. We enjoyed it, but it wasn't anywhere near the level of the, what we're doing in the Shadows show, which was, Wellington Paranormal. It's basically, you know, the two cops in the two police officers who come into the house in what we're doing in the Shadows are like, oh, what's that over there? And they think, point at the vampire, is like, oh, that's a safety hazard, you know, they can't see the vampires when they're fighting in the kitchen. And they,
oh yeah, that was brilliant. That, yeah. The fact they're all suspended in the air. And it's,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. You're right, mate.
Exactly. So them two cops have done a spin-off show called Wellington Paranormal, and it's very much a sort of almost it carries on that theme of bumbling police people having to deal with different paranormal activity around the Wellington area, which is where what we're doing in the Shadows is set. And it has some cameos from the guys from What We Do in the Shadows as well, so which is really cool when that happens. It has episodes which don't land as well, but it's still great for watch, because I think they're only 20 odd minutes long as well, so, and there's only six a season. So, you know, if you want to be a completist in the What We Do in the Shadows universe, I definitely recommend watching it.
Okay, going on my list then. I did like the humour in the film, so I'm going to be... I'll be impressed the fact that the humour would be better in the TV series.
Honestly, it follows through. It's written by the same people. I mean, it's written by Jermaine Clement, on at least the first two or three were. I'm going to say it was. Definitely the first season was written by Jermaine Clement and Taika Waititi. And I don't... Well, I'm pretty sure Jermaine Clement at least wrote it. Maybe not Taika. I need to check that now. I might be talking rubbish. But it's still there, and the humour's exactly the same. It's exactly the same. I think it's just you've got to explore more avenues. Again, there is cameos, which I won't tell you what they are. There's one episode, I think it's the first season, the end of the first season, which will just blow your mind for all the cameos in it. It's absolutely gobsmacking. It's really, really funny. We're talking like Hollywood A-listers in cameos in what we do in the Shadows TV show. That's how big it gets.
Oh, God. Okay. Right, looking forward to that one. Housebound.
Ah, that's an interesting one. I've put that down myself a bit lower. I've sort of put, like, you know, a list of the absolute best I could think of at the time. And I put, like, sort of special mentions sort of area. And Housebound's on there. That was a lovely little surprise when I seen that. The opening to that was fantastic. And it's a very funny film. Again, another, that's New Zealand as well, isn't it? Is it New Zealand, Housebound?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
because
they've got a few in the horror genre. There's a film called Black Sheep, which was, I think that was New Zealand as well, which is hysterically good. I put it in like a special mention.
Wormwood.
No, I haven't seen Wormwood. I've heard of it, but that's one I haven't seen.
I definitely recommend watching it just for the special effects.
Okay, Wormwood. Okay, no, I have heard the name Wormwood, but I haven't seen the film now.
Yeah.
It's a Housebound, Housebound, so yeah. I've been sidetracked with the whole New Zealand thing there. I've also got in there, in here I have got Reanimator, which is a film that keeps coming up in people's requests for MK Gallery, so that might find it way there. Have you seen that film? Barbara Crampton, Jeffrey Coombs...
Oh, yes, I've seen it a few times.
It's an absolute classic, and that's why. I mean, this is one of the films, and we talk about the events at the gallery that we would like to get this one up, because I've never seen it on the big screen. I've never seen anyone offer it on the big screen. Not even like maybe the Prince Charles Cinema has or someone, but I haven't. I don't remember having seen it being on. I wouldn't be surprised actually if the Prince Charles Cinema had, because they do offer a lot of horror over Halloween period, so but yeah, I've never seen it come up anywhere else, so it's one that's there for the future for us to put up. It's just such a great film, such a camp, funny film. I mean, the scene, you know, the cat is incredible in it, the scene with the severed head and Barbara Crampton is unbelievable. It's just such a funny film from start to finish.
I like the bit where they're trying to like fight off the guy in the morgue room, and it's God, it's just going to have bad to incredibly worse.
Oh yeah, it's great. It's great. So yeah, Reanimator's definitely up there, and I've put that on my like sort of hype list. As is, obviously we've got upcoming Evil Dead 2, and we obviously talked about that, and Army of Darkness. So Army of Darkness, it's like the third installment of the Evil Dead franchise. And you can see, like, with that franchise, Evil Dead is a pure out horror film, right? It was the first film they did, made on a tight budget, and it is obviously, you know, an historical piece of filmmaking. Evil Dead 2 is basically a remake of Evil Dead, but with a better budget and more comedy. It becomes more, you know, it has more of the love of Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell have for the Three Stooges. You can see that in there. But once we get to the Army of Darkness, there's just full-on Three Stooges moments, you know? Yeah, and I don't know if
you... Oh, yeah, this is my boomstick!
Yeah, and then there's a bit where like slapping across the face with the when he's looking at the portal thing. It's probably, you know, I like the film. I don't really like the film, but it's probably my least favourite of the series, but it's still a brilliant film, so, yeah. And the bit, this is my boomstick moment, so it is great.
Are you looking forward to the newest instalment for it?
Yeah, I am, because I actually really liked... what's his name? He's just done another film who made Evil Dead a few years back. I thought they did a really good job of it. It wasn't meant to be the same. It was, and you know, it wasn't the same old Evil Dead because... It was a remake, but it was done really well. 2012-2013. Ada Alvarez, I think his name is. And I'm trying to think what he's done recently that I watched that I wasn't keen on. Because I was excited for it because I really liked what he did with Evil Dead. But whoever, you know, I can't remember who's doing, actually. Evil Dead Rise, it's called, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whoever does that, you know, I'm sure, I know they've got the input from Sam Raimi. And Bruce, and I know that they're all excited about this, so I'm always going to be excited about Evil Dead when it comes out, because, you know, it's got so much potential. I love the TV show, Ash vs. Evil Dead. I thought it was fantastic, absolutely hysterical from start to finish, and I can't believe they actually cancelled it. I was devastated, because I don't think there was a bad episode in that show. I thought it was funny as, and it was going in a really good place when they finished off season 3. I was like, this is going to be incredible. But unfortunately, the company who made the stars said they weren't getting the viewing figures, so cancelled it. I mean, it's one of them frustrating things that when that first came out in the UK, you couldn't see it anywhere. When it came out in the US, you couldn't see it anywhere else. It was only in the US and Canada. So they didn't get it out to market anywhere else than clip, and then said they weren't getting the viewing figures. And the problem you're doing that is people start looking out to watch it with friends and stuff because they don't want it spoiled. And you've got to improve, I think, stars marketing for that must have been... was awful, unfortunately, because it was such a good show. I don't think I spoke to one person who didn't love it and was hoping for, you know, it to come out, you know, a season a year almost. So Fade Alvarez, I just remembered, he wrote the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That's what the last thing he did I didn't like, but he did.
Oh god,
yeah, but he did. Have you seen Don't Breathe?
Yes.
Yeah, and Don't Breathe's really good. I haven't seen Don't Breathe 2. I really enjoyed Don't Breathe, but yeah, so he has got a decent, and he only wrote Texas Chainsaw. Well, you can't really forgive him for that. It was awful, but I mean, it's funny, we're sort of going off on a tangent here about how many people I know who actually like that film just because it's got, you know, they deem as good kills. I mean, you can pull the good kills you want if you write an absolutely abysmal story with no sense whatsoever to you. It's gonna suck.
Yeah, I hated the fact that they tried to mix in like someone like mentally trying to get over the fact, well, deal with the fact that they survived the school shooting and they're dealing with.
Yeah, we acted both. It was a bit of a weird one to put in. I get it because you're saying you're controlling, but it just feels. I don't think anyone wants to see. You know, school shootings, it's not, I know there are survivors, and I don't think survivors of school shootings want to be reminded of it when probably it wasn't like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Forget, you know, it's quite, as you know, when you're younger, it can be a good escapism when you want to get away from, you know, the outside world, and I don't think you want to be reminded that sort of thing.
No.
I don't think anyone needs to be reminded of school shootings. It's horrible. I mean, I'm being harsher because, you know, there's other nasty things in films showing us trauma, car crashes, etc. So And I'll probably just, yeah, I think if kids getting killed is a bit close to home, isn't it? Or close to the bone, to say.
Yeah, try and get away from the seriousness of school shootings.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, yeah, we're digressing as we do, because you start talking about one subject and you get that links to another subject and you go off on a tangent about all the films you love. But yeah, we are here to talk horror comedy, and so we should stick to some of the horror comedies. So give me something else off your list. What have you got?
Piranha 3D.
Ah, oh, that was fantastic. I just love the name. The title. Is this the latest one? The latest? Yeah, it was, because it was Piranha.
3DD was the latest one.
Oh yeah, 3D. I just love the name for that. I mean, they're not messing about with the name for Piranha 3DD. Guess what you're going to see in this film? You know, but
you're going to see deaths, and you can see boobs.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but no, I did. It was fun in the cinema. I'm one of those people who actually liked 3D films. I found them fun to watch. I wasn't against them at all. I was a bit gutted that they didn't carry on, and I'm glad to have been around when it happened, because you got to see some fun things like Piranha 3D, which was funny and great. I love the original Piranha, Joe Dante film, wasn't it? Joe Dante did Piranha. Obviously, and he did another film on my list, Gremlins, which is obviously an all-time top five horror comedy, for me anyway. And so you've got little demons, Christmas, comedy, all in that genre of film, for that particular film. Yeah, Piranha 3D is great. I was on my list in my mentions. Also runs almost.
I like the fact that it wears its heart on its sleeve, and you know that it's not going to take itself seriously.
Oh yeah, that's what you want when you're going to see a proper full-on. You don't want to see them like trying to make piranhas be serious monsters, are you? And that's not going to happen. Yeah, you know, it's great fun. Great fun. So I'm just trying to look, what have I got that we haven't talked about? I've got Killer Clowns from Outer Space, which is not everyone's cup of tea, but I really find it funny. I really like that film. Have you seen Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
Still need to watch it in its entirety.
Yeah, yeah. You know what, it's one of them ones that it's got quite a cool following, and part of that cult. I just find it funny. I find the different clowns funny. It's a nice, quick film as well. But it's some people just don't get on with it, and that's fine, because, you know, we've all got our own individual taste. But I've got it on my, Killer Clowns is on my, you know, sort of must mention, even though it's not one of the top ones, it's definitely a must mention. We've covered, so I've got Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness, excuse me, What We Do in the Shadows, Gremlins, Shaun of the Dead, Reanimator, American Werewolf in London. We didn't mention that yet, have we? We took American Werewolf in London, an all-time classic horror comedy. We obviously just recently screened that at the MK Gallery, which is great. It was great to see it on the big screen. It got, you know, our biggest attendance yet. We got over, I think we got 78 people or 68 or 78 people for that one, so we did really well. And it was a lot of fun to see on the screen, big screen. It's got some really good horror moments in it, as well as all the, you know, very funny comedy. I think that's my top list.
I do like, I've got one more film on my list, Severance.
I haven't seen Severance either. Let's go on my list now then. Seven. I don't think I've seen it anyway.
Yeah, it's like a British comedy horror set in the woods, like this. It's like a team building exercise, okay, in the middle of nowhere, and Danny Dyer's one of the main cast members, and you know. It's just going to end badly.
Well, no, I haven't seen that. I mean, probably because I've seen the name Danny Dyer on it, didn't think it would be a horror film or a horror comedy. He's not exactly known for his work in the genre.
No.
See the way Severance and see Danny Dyer, I'm thinking that gags a film.
Yeah, that is something that would pop to mind. Yeah. It's funny because it works well, because like the company, the group work for, I think they make like firearms or something, and they talk about like the theories of like who their company sells to and things it's things get messed up really in spectacular fashion, and it's just some of the one-liners some of the jump scares are really good as well, like they're not over the top and then it's not overdone either.
I missed off the top of my list actually was Fright Night. Really, actually, and it is one of the few remakes I thought was okay. But yeah, Fright Night is an all-time favorite as well. From its incredible poster through to, you know, its incredible cast, it's just such a, another fun film. There's some of these films that, like Fright Night, sometimes are they, you know, what do they fit into the comedy horror genre? And the answer I'd say is yes for this one. That would be up in my top 10 definitely. Fright Night, a big fan. Again, one of the few that I didn't dislike the remake of, but they did a decent enough job.
I thought some of the CGI was, like, it was good for what it was.
For the Fright Night remake? Or the original?
Yeah, I think, because, the remake, because there were some CGI bits that kind of made me go, but some bits where I was like, oh, yeah, that actually looked really good.
I only watched it on the cinema release, so I've never watched it again. It was like, that was all right, I'm not going to watch it again, but that was fine, you know, for a remake. If I'm going to put Fright Night on, I'm going to put the original Fright Night on. That's one film that I loved the end with. There's a bit with a bat scene at the end, and it's just so badly done. You can see basically it's a bat on a string. They're one of those big sticks with a bat on a string at the end of it, with a string just getting bounced up and down. It looks awful. It's really funny. But, you know, it maybe didn't have the budget, I guess. Maybe that was the very last scene and he'd run out of budget. But
just like someone go to like Spirit Halloween and get a stick.
That's pretty much it. I got some others. I've got like some that I've mentioned on a sort of like also run list. I guess, you know, this actual conversation could have been covering, you know, this could have been an opening into common horrors, because you can go so in depth in so many films and so many eras, genres within genres of comedy horror and through the different decades. You know, it could be a massive evolution of horror type podcast you could run on comedy horror. But this is more a case of just pull out some films. I mean, I've got different Zombieland. I really liked Zombieland when that came out. Thought that was a lot of fun. You know, really well done. A really great cameo from a particular person, which I won't mention in case people haven't seen it. Because at least it was in this century. It's just a fun idea and fun film. You know, obviously a high quality cast for a comedy horror. I've got Sliver in there, which was fun. That's an older one. I'm not sure if that was New Zealand or not. I can't remember now.
I think Sliver was American.
I was Sliver American. I haven't watched it for a while. Another good film. Freaky is recent. It was okay. It's got its moments, which are with some really, really, really good deaths in it. I don't know, have you seen Freaky? Have you heard of Freaky?
Not yet. I would like to sit down and actually watch it at some point.
The premise on that is, you know, there's you know, serial killer going around, and one way or the other, which I'm not going to explain, he ends up swapping bodies with a young girl. And then so the young girl's body is inhabited by the serial killer, and the serial killer, Vince Vaughn, is going around having a whale of a time, pretending to be a young girl. And it's just got some really funny moments in it and some really, really impressively different slasher deaths, which, you know, we all know is hard to do these days because you know, there's been so many slasher films and so many deaths on camera. To get to do something a bit different, it's hard, isn't it? So that stuck out for me with just relating to that. Babysitter as well, I quite like that on Netflix, The Babysitter. That's got Samara Weaving, who was also in another one on my list, which is Ready or Not. Both recent films. I think I heard you and Clara talking about Ready or Not.
Yes, we did.
A few weeks back on the podcast. Yeah, very, very much a fun film. You know what's going to happen all the way through, but it's still really well done, really well shot, and really funny to watch. And I think the last one I've got on my list, just quickly drawn up list I may add. Baba Hotep. Have you seen Baba Hotep? Just to top off the sort of the genres of genres, here we've got a mummy in a horror comedy as well. So we've covered werewolves, vampires, mummies,
zombies.
We should do some Monster Squad, because you cover all the, you've got Universal Monsters in there then as well. And Monster Squad, I forgot about that one. Another great film.
I have seen Baba Hotep, yeah.
Yeah, it's obviously Bruce Campbell. I think he's Elvis type thing. It's Campbell thinks he's Baba Hotep, is it? Oh God, sorry. I've got written up the wrong way round. He's a really black guy, I think he's Jack. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Within the horror comedy genre.
I haven't seen a film like Baba Hotep before. Like, I've literally, to me, it's not like one of a kind. because it's like Elvis in a retirement home with a mummy running around.
Yeah, so it's, yeah, Campbell thinks he's Elvis, or he is Elvis, and or whatever, you know, let's not go into too much in story. You've got a black JFK, haven't you? You've got a guy who thinks he's JFK in there as well, which is great too. It's just, yeah, it's a great, great film. It's just, it probably isn't in my, you know, as I say, top 10, top 15 even, but it's just a really fun watching. If you get the chance to watch it and you haven't seen it before, I'd highly recommend doing so.
I'd recommend watching it as well, just from trying to describe it, you can tell it's going to be an interesting watch.
Yeah, and again, it's you can give sort of, you know, a little bit of a synopsis in the film, but you don't want to, you know, don't want to ruin it by giving too much away, when it is probably one of the underseen films, I find, when you speak to people who love horror, who like horror, they may, you know, it might be one they haven't seen. So I guess if you wanted to give your listeners a sort of an easy synopsis, it would be like, you know, guys living in old people's home, got a guy, black guy, thinks he's JFK, who's kind of lose Elvis, and then you've got like a mummy coming around trying to suck the soul out, I guess, you know, but you know, clarity ensues, so it's really good, really good.
I literally have no other films on my list.
Yeah, I guess, I would have liked to have put more on, but you know, this is, you know, I'm sure when we go through other episodes, we'll be talking a lot more about comedy horror, because, you know, you can't really cover too many in one sort of 45 minutes to an hour sitting, can you? It's more of a let's talk a little bit about comedy horror. What are your favourites? What, you know, you can do deep dives. I mean, there's so many. I've got an extra list of lots of little ones you can find on Amazon Prime, like, you know, Two Heads Creek and stuff, which is hysterical as well. But I'd rather talk a little bit more about that and give you ideas about, you know, give you more synopsis. Two Heads Creek, if you ever bought on Amazon Prime, that was a fun one if you've not seen it. Again, an undiscovered gem that a couple of my friends really enjoyed. One not so much, but most people who I know watched it really enjoyed it. And you could talk, you know, as I say, to talk comedy horror for so long, because it's a subgenre that has been there since, you know, almost the beginning of comedy, every horror films, and then it's been going and strongly, you know, it gets box office releases regularly throughout, and then there's arguments about films that you would not initially think are comedy horrors, but actually, you know, the dark comedy as well as being horror films. So it's a shorter list this time around. I'm sure we'll be able to cover more we haven't discussed here, and a bit more in depth as well.
I'm sure we'll be able to do like part two and part three at some point.
Yeah, I mean, we even do pick, like, you know, it might be a good way to just say, oh, let's pick out, you know, three films each and go in depth on those three films, comedy horrors. So you could, because obviously your podcast is a comedy horror podcast. I think it's something that you guys should do, get on there and talk about, you know, your favourite ones, go a little bit more in depth every few episodes. I think it'd be a good side for your podcast, because there is so many great films out there and they're fun to talk about.
Right, so where can people find you?
So, as before, we are MK Horror, and we do events at the Crawford Arms monthly. So our next event at the Crawford Arms is Saturday the 28th of this month, which is, just in case the podcast goes out late, May. But if it goes out late, it doesn't really matter, does it? And that is a 2 p.m. showing. We can't tell you the name of the film, but we can say, what we'll say, this is an all-time classic. It's probably in my top, it's definitely my top 10 films of all time, potentially my top 5, which is a big shout for me when it comes to horror. It involves vampires, I won't give you any more clues than that. But yes, the reason I'm putting this on in the Crawford and not our MK Gallery is simply because it's been on within the last few years at sort of Cineworld or the Odeon. Otherwise, I'd be clamouring to get this on in the gallery because I love it so much. So yeah, I'd really recommend you come along to that one if you're looking to try the Crawford for the first time. It's probably the most popular film we've put on so far. Find us on Instagram at MK Horror, Facebook at MK Horror, and Twitter at MK Horror. And the best way to get notice of what we're doing and when we're showing films is to sign up to our newsletter, which is at www.mkhorror.com.
It's always good to go to the Crawford Arms, so I do recommend it.
Good, I'm glad you came last time. I hope you come this one. I'll obviously tell you the film off off air, because I just repeat for your listeners who may be listening for the first time that the reason we don't tell the name of the films on either our social media or when we do podcasts, etc., is because we're limited by our licensing rights, and the only way we can show these films for free is by following these rules. So we follow them. We can advertise within the Crawford. So if you go into Crawford, you're sure to see a poster there what film it is. If you sign up to our newsletter, you will get the newsletter that tells you what film it is, but we can't advertise it in any other way.
And you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Pocket Cast, Anchor, and Spotify. We're also on Instagram as Caffeinated Monsters Pod, Facebook, Caffeinated Monsters Podcast. I'm slowly trying to build up our YouTube channel. Please be patient. But I've had a lot of fun with you.
Thank you for inviting me, and I'm looking forward to the next time we speak.
Yeah, because we're going to be doing What the Horror very soon as well. I'm really looking forward to hearing your ones.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm obviously not going to tell you what they are. I'm going for a mixture of something pretty new, which I absolutely adored, and an absolute classic from the 80s. So a bit of a deep dive on two films that I've loved both of them. So I'm looking forward to talking about them.
Oh, I hope you like the ones I come up with, because I've noticed that I've done quite a couple of highly rated ones. I'm going for lower rated ones now, but I'm a bit like, but I want to watch those again.
That's the only thing. I'm just hoping to know what they are. so I'm like, I'm enjoying the conversation, because that's one of the things when you watch different things, or you might not have seen the same films as each other. So let me do it. Like, as I say, today I'll take it away, Wormwood and Severance to watch. But when we do the podcast, hopefully it's an enjoyable good one to do.
I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun.
Thank you very much.
Right. It's quite all right, my dear.
How can you do this to me? This is hurting my soul. This is Megath.